All right, you could turn to Psalms 23. You just have to know, if you want all of God, you must come into the place of your faith where the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dwelleth in you. And now, they all live there in a house, but they have us come into an active dwelling place within you, and that is going to be tangible. It'll show up tangibly every day of your life. God is a tangible God. There's a place where you have to hold a line with faith to move into where He is, but your faith will turn to a tangible place. There'll be a tangible glory, a tangible love, a tangible experience. You've got to experience God. If you don't experience Him, your faith will decay and wither away. There's a time your faith must come in, but at least we're knowing where to point it. Amen. And the Father's love is going to do all this, but it's a daily baptism of the Father's love that removes the separation. And then once the separation's removed, His love begins casting out the fear, casting out doubt, casting out unbelief, and your prayers start getting answered. Oh man, I feel close to Him right now. I feel very close to Him. When you start drinking of Him, you want to drink more every day. Every day you want to come back and drink again. But here's the beautiful thing. Once your faith paves the way by the Word of God, you're not going to get denied. Amen. You're not going to go away empty. You're going to go away full, but you got to go in there and let the Holy Spirit pave that way to go into the Father's bosom. Amen. So let's begin with a very familiar psalm, and I'm going to bring this into the light of where we're at. Psalms 23, David knew the Lord, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Don't you like that? See, this particular shepherd's going to lead you to the fullness where you will not want anymore. And that's not just natural wants. That's subsidiary to the spiritual desire of every son and daughter of God. He must fill your appetite for Him. Everybody has an appetite. If you don't get that appetite filled, the devil will knock at your door to fill it with his world system. And when he begins to fill this world system, that's where all the trouble begins. We were made to be filled. We were made to be satisfied by Him, but you got to know where He is, and the Lord is your shepherd, and He's going to lead you to the Father. Amen. There is a mission when the Lord came was not just to save you, but He was sent to lead you into the Father. He told him the last words He said, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you in the Father, a dwelling place for you in Him. I'm going to come back and get you. I've got to go by way of the cross, but when I come back and get you, I'm going to translate you out of the darkness you were born in. I'm going to translate you into my kingdom, and then I am going to bring you to where I am in the Father. And you're going to know my joy that I've had since the world began." And boy, He's very fun. I was laughing for probably over an hour today, and that's not really my nature, is to laugh. But I'll tell you, I was laughing in the joy of the Father and the love of the Father. I was laughing in His pure joy of the Father. But it was such a beautiful thing. And it was pure laughter that came out of pure love. There is absolute joy in the Father. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He is leading you. His leadership's not just what city to live in, what job that you're going to have. His leadership takes on a greater role. He also leading you spiritually, because there are places that you cannot find on your own. There are places you cannot find by the touch, taste, see, and hear realm. There are places in the spirit that God's dwelling in a place of darkness to you, but light to Him. And the only way you're going to find it is by His Holy Spirit and your shepherd leading you there. God's leading you. You got to get close to the shepherd. So got to be in rod and staff length. You know, He's that rod and thy staff comfort me. If you're in rod and staff length, if you're not in rod and staff length, you're not getting any comfort from Him. If you're a sheep that's wandering out of pen all the time, you're not going to get a lot of comfort from the shepherd. Amen. He's leading you though. You got to know when you're praying and when you're fellowshipping with you, it's not just experience. He's leading you into a place that's going to be a permanent dwelling place, both for you and for the Father. Jesus did something remarkable. He gave you what you wanted. He gave the Father what He wanted. It was all in Him. He came to do the Father's will, to give the Father what he wanted more than anything. It was not just a tabernacle to dwell alongside a man. He goes, I want that tabernacle in man. I am not content to be beside you. I want to be in you. That's why the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. God always, always intended to abide inside you. He would have never been content outside you. He wanted oneness that he held with the Son. Him and the Son were one. The Son was in him and he was in the Son. You cannot understand that concept with your natural mind. You are going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to that place and open your spiritual understanding. And the way you do that is you just hold that word in there and say it. And you say it and say it and say it. And say it and say it, I am one with you, and you are in me, I am in you, you're in me, because your mind will never grasp that concept. To try to understand the glory of that dimension with your mind, you'll check out. Because it doesn't mean anything to you to be one with him in your head. Oh yeah, I'm one with God. I tell people, it's all about oneness. Yeah, I'm one with him, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you are one with him, he will dwell in you. He will move from a dormant state to a dwelling state in you. Say dwell. Amen. And so he's our shepherd. I'm going to just move to John 10. We're going to take the same shepherd. That shepherd's leading. Amen. He's leading you. He's leading me. Now I realize where he's been leading us all this time. Praise the Lord forever. He's been leading us to the Father. Well, I know the Father. Well, you're going to know him in a lot greater way. We're coming into the place of the indwelling of the Father. Amen. We're coming into the place where the Father's all of his glory, all of his love, all of his life. Let me tell you something. If the Father's indwelling in you, you're going to be lit up like a light bulb. It won't be very long. You will be lit up. Every part of you will be lit up. Your emotions will be lit up. Your body will be lit up. You'll stand taller. You'll be happy. You'll be strong in the Lord. You'll start getting answered prayer. You'll know him. Oh God, you are in me. I said it 500 times in the last 2 months, at least. Father, you're in me because you're in the Son and he's in me. I'm in the Son and me and Christ are in you. But then Christ is in me and you and Christ are in me. But then I'm in Jesus and we're in you. I kept saying it and holding and holding. You're in me. Father, I am the temple of the living God. Not the dormant God, the living God. I am the temple. As God said, I will dwell in you. I will walk in you. We've got to come into the indwelling. When you do, heaven coming down. Oh God, visit us. Visit us. You're going to get a lot more than visitation. You're getting habitation. Because he done already moved in. He's moved into your life. He's moved into your temple. But your faith is going to awaken that place. It's going to come alive. I'll tell you the truth. I walked out of my prayer call today. I was so full. Went in there, prayed for Carson, and ate some of that quiche that was on the table. Went back in there. Forgot my computer cord. Went back in, and the presence and his glory was up in that room. I said, oh, man, feel this. You carry tangible presence. In the last days, God's people that enter into the fullness of the Father and then the indwelling of the Father gets released will carry a tangible presence. Smith Wigglesworth knew that place. He carried a tangible presence of the Father. He'd sit up into those train cars. He'd have that room in there and somebody move in that room and they'd start weeping and crying because the glory of God would be on him and it'd get up in the atmosphere. I know how that works now. You got to have a habitation for that. You got to hold that up in there and you got to find that pathway. Hallelujah. Let me show you this. This is awesome. John 10 verse 1. Everyone say booyah. Verily, verily, I say unto you. When he says verily, verily, that means you better listen. This means truly and truly. I say unto you. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a robber. He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the door. Amen. In other words, he's saying anybody that say they can go to the Father outside of him, they're thief and they're robbers. He was the only way to go to the Father. He says, and to him, verse 3, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Say, he leadeth them out. He leadeth them out. Right there is when you got born again. See, they hear his voice. They respond. They're translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. Right there, he led them out of the world system. Right there, they were led out. All right? Now, that's important. See, they hear his voice. We always think about, I want to hear your voice, God. I want to hear your voice. We always want that kind of thing. But if you really want to hear his voice is according to his word, where he's really going with his voice, where he's really going with his leadership. His first order of leadership is to move you into the indwelling of the Father so the Father can empower you and fill you up. Because if you don't get that kind of leadership, if you don't get that kind of satisfaction, then you're going to run around empty all the time. When you're running around empty all the time, the enemy's always going to be offering something from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Here, have some of these fruits. Have some of these fruits. Because you're empty. But when the Father's satisfying you, you won't stumble and fall around. Amen? But you're going to have to move through into this place by faith and focus. You got to want it. God's condition is you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. If you do not, and if anything else takes priority, you won't find that place. Your heart may have so much working in it that you'll lose track. You'll lose your focus, see. If you lose your focus, you'll stop hearing his true leadership. And you get distracted. When you get distracted, you're not moved fully into where he wants us to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Notice what he says. So he leads them out. He translates them out of darkness. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, that's you. He puts you forth, meaning he moved you from one pen to the other. He moved you from the pig pen to the sheep pen. Moved you from the world system to the kingdom of God. Now you've already been moved. Amen. Now watch out. Then he goeth before you. Wow. First, he's the doorway and he opens the door. Says, come through me, translate you out of darkness. And once he's got you out, he stands in front of you and he says, now follow me. Amen. He goeth before them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, he's going to explain this in verse 9. I want you to look at this. I am the door. He's explaining the parable. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That was what he leadeth them out. That was the first part, right? You're saved. Now notice what he says. And you shall go in and out. Look at that. You're saved. So are you going to go in and out of salvation? No, you're saved. Now you got access to the kingdom. You've got access to the Father. I've come to bring you to the Father. You're going to come in and receive of him and drink of him and find pasture and find life and find it more abundantly. You're going to eat and drink and then you're going to go back out into the world and deliver it and release it into the world. You're going to come in and receive the kingdom. You're going to come in and you're going to get filled with the kingdom. You're going to go back out and release it to the world. And you're going to go back in, get some more and go back out, release it, go back in. Go back out. We just go out. We get saved and we go out. Out, 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 out. Go, 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 go. But you're not getting anything to go with. You got to go in there and find the life. You got to find the pasture. You got to find the goods of the kingdom in there. You got to go in there. You have capacity to go in. You have capacity to go in there. Where you really need to be found, Father, is here. I found him above. I knew how to ascend. That's a hard thing to do. Why go through all that junk when you go right in? Why have to go on way up that way? When I say junk, going through, because you're dealing with all kinds of stuff, because you're moving through different realms. You're moving outside when he's all inside. See, God is above all, Ephesians says. He's through all, but he's also in you all. You're going to find him by the perspective of your word and the revelation of the word of God. So if he's in, found him in. Oh, I found him inside. Because that's where he habitates. That's where the habitation of love is. That's why John said, you cannot say I'm going to teach you how to read the book of Little John. You cannot say that God's dwelling in you and then live in sin. He's not talking about being saved. You cannot say the Father's actually dwelling in you and then have habitual sin. That's impossible. The love of God is too clean. It's too pure. It washes everything away. You can't be holding on to something in Father's love all up in there at the same time. You can be born again and never hardly experience the indwelling of God. There's denominations that do that all their life. You understand? He said, you cannot say that God dwells in you and hates your brother. You can't do it. You can be born again. I know a lot of born again people that are very unlovely. Got a lot of issues. But they're still born again. But you cannot say the Father's up in there dwelling. Not love. Because the Father is pure love, not your love, His love. Don't be going trying to love everybody with your love. You're just going to fall on your face. You ain't got it. Let nobody in here have enough. He goes, you can give your body to be burned, 1 Corinthians 13, and not possess love. He said, you can give all your goods to feed the poor and not possess the love of God. Because human love can go the endurance, but it's not the Father's love. He never expects you to go love somebody with your love. When he says, as I have loved you, love one another. He was loving them. The Father was loving him. He was releasing that love of the Father upon them. See, you got to apprehend something to give something. That's why you got to go in and out. We forgot the in part. We just went to the out parts. You got to go in and obtain. You obtain. You find the pasture. No, notice what he says the pasture is. I like this. He said, I'm the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And once you're saved, you can go in. That's a little entrance. That's into the Father, into the kingdom. And out, coming back out, feeding. Know this, and find pasture, like it. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Now, he's not talking about lifestyle, but you will have lifestyle. If you get a hold of the Father's love and the Father's life, promise you that'll start manifesting in blessings of lifestyle. But that's not what he was talking about. I come that you might have a lifestyle and a lifestyle more abundantly. You're going to have to obtain the pure life, obtain the pure love. And then, you see, that's what he said. If you'll seek first this kingdom, understand how this kingdom works. And then all that stuff I'll add to you freely. But if you don't understand how this kingdom works, seek first the kingdom. He's really talking about how to understand how the kingdom works. Our shepherd's going to lead us. And his first place he's going to lead us is what he said in the upper room. I'm going to lead you to the Father. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to bring you to him. I'm going to bring you to him. I'm going to place you inside of him the way I'm in him. Because I'm already in him. I'm in his bosom. And I'm going to prepare a room for you. Ephesians said it like this. You are raised up together with him. Made to sit together in heavenly places. You know, when we first started going, all the heavenly places was way up there. You know how long that took for my faith to get heavenly places in here? That was hard because he always said about you, heavenly places, always says you were raised together, made to sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If it's in Christ, it's in you. Everyone say, if it's in Christ, it's in me. You got to get that there by faith. And when it's way up there so far, oh, when it's in here, it's so close. Amen. So your faith holds that until it becomes a reality. You hold that word. You speak that word. You meditate and cultivate, meditate, cultivate, meditate and cultivate until it becomes reality. Because the spiritual realm is real. Whoa. And the Father's love is real. And it's powerful. The cleansing nature of the Father's love. Whoa. Wow. You just want more. Just give me more. I see how the apostles just completely lost their life. Because every time this happens, the world means less. Grows strangely dim. Amen? Strangely dim. I come that you might have life. I'm going to introduce you to life. I'm going to introduce you to pure love. I'm going to introduce you to my joy that I have with the Father. I'm going to introduce you to what I've had for all eternity. The Father wants you to be where I am. I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to bring you, and I'm going to raise you together. You're going to sit together with me, and we're going to be in the Father together. Isn't that good? All right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want it all. I don't want part of it. I want all of it. God knows. We're going to get every bit of it. I see the indwelling Father. He is the source of power. He's going to heal again through that name. The indwelling is not the gift realm. You need to understand that. Jesus did not operate by the gift realm. There's two different operations. The gift realm was severally as the Holy Ghost wills. Jesus was anointed without measure by the Father, without measure, because he operated in the indwelling of the Father. John 14, verse 23. Now, he starts saying things. I like this. He says, Jesus answered and said to them, if a man loved me, how many of you love him? If a man loved me, if you love me, notice what he defines as love, you'll keep my words. And particularly these words in chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 that feed into the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And he says, you keep these words of mine. My Father will love him, will love you. Notice that. And we will come unto you and make our abode. That word abode is dwelling. Same place as I go to prepare a dwelling place for you. The same word. We will come and make our dwelling place in you. That's Father and Son. See, that realm is so real when you're there. You dwell in the heart of a man. I felt his weightiness. And his love was so beautiful. I said, you literally dwell in us. You're with us. And but I tell people that. You know, God's dwelling. Yeah, I got it. Because the concept, the indwelling love of the Father, the indwelling glory of the Father. See, because we say, well, I'm saved. Yeah, I've tasted that. You got to get past that concept to move into the reality. I want to tell you something. When you really get it, you don't come to that door and say, he dwells in me. Because you're going to have more than an experience. It's going to be a daily thing of the indwelling. You have to be led to that. Do you understand that? Or you've all tasted it. But for it to become a dwelling state, a remaining, actually it means to remain, to dwell, to stay. For all that to stay and not be lost. It must be birthed and held by the Word. Why do we go by the Word? Do you know the different ways I fasted my way in there? I actually confessed my way in there one time. I had communion. I actually had a series where through the communion table, I was going through Wisdom's house, through the communion table, up into the Father. And I was caught up in His love for 6 weeks and lost it. I worshiped my way in, lost it. Fasted my way in, lost it. Got it, but lost it. I think it was Joanne, we were talking, and she goes, well, what's the difference between when you were there then? I said, because I'm keeping it. Because I got it. I know how to keep it. You don't have to keep it. Everyone say, I do not have to keep it, but I will have to follow him to find it. You cannot find it on your own. You can't. And then you might stumble into a meeting and get all endowed with it. You might stumble in there through a visitation, but if you want the indwelling, the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has to lead you to the Father, and you got to go through His Word. That's why He said, if a man love me, he's going to keep these words. If you abide in me, and these words abide in you, if you hold this Word until it manifests, guess what? Once it manifests by the Word, guess what? He upholds all things by the Word of His power. He upholds. Do you get that? If it's built by the Word, it will be upheld by the Word. If it's built by the Word, it's upheld by the Word. So what you gain by the Word, you'll keep it. You won't be a yo-yo. One day you're in the glory, and the next day you're all messed up. Let me tell you something. Once you enter in the glory, you're marked for life. Enemy will never leave you alone. Once you know how to taste of the glories of God and move into that realm, that's why I never understood why people are such a target. Once you move into that place, he'll mark you forever. Like it, love it, or hate it, he will mark you because you're dangerous. Just for the sheer fact you know how to enter in something that half the church has no idea. You know how to get in there. I told a friend of mine, I mean, he seeks God left and right. He goes, why does the devil never leave me alone? I said, he'll never leave you alone. I said, but there is a way to escape him, but you better learn how to move in. You got to move in. You got to move in. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, especially if you called with this kind of stuff. That will never leave you alone. But in me, you'll have peace. So don't worry about it. Did you get that? Don't miss the part of in me. You're going to have to be in me to have the peace. That's just not laying down and having a little bit of rest. Isn't that presence so good? No, you move into that place and there is perfect peace in there. You move into that place, it's peace that passeth all understanding. In me, he's talking about two jurisdictions. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but if in me, he goes, don't worry, I've overcome the world. In me, there's peace. You got to learn to get up in there. That's why he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. Your shepherd will lead you there. But you got to understand how he does that. You gotta learn. Amen. You have to learn. And you also have to taste the bitterness of disobedience. You'll find out when you walk with the glory of God, you can't just do anything you want to do anymore. You will taste the bitterness of disobedience. When your flesh just let it do what it wants to, the higher you get in God, the more of a price you'll pay for that kind of thing. You pay that price. I don't want to be led by pain, do you? I want to be led by love. But that pain, because you get over there in the enemy, once you walk it up in the high places of God and you come off that mountain, he will put a hurting on you. How many of you ever had that happen? Raise your hand. If you haven't, you probably will at one time. Amen. You got to stay in the mountain. You got to stay on the mountain. And the best way to learn how to do it is get in there. You got to learn how to get in there and hold it. You know that one scripture alone, you could hold that and move into peace. In me, there is peace. In me. You're in me and I am in you. You're in me. See, your head, it'll go in many different tangents. But when you start focusing your faith here and holding it and learning to do it, practicing. What did I say? Practice? Practicing by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you, in Christ, in you. Jesus, there's peace that passes all understanding. Not in the world, not out here. There's tribulation out here, but in you there's peace. I move in. You're my shepherd now. Lead me into that peace. Lead me to the still waters. Lead me to something my natural eyes cannot see, but my spirit can. Lead me by thy word. Uphold it by the word. Lead me to the still water. Make me lie down in the green pasture. You are my shepherd. Bring me to the place I do not want. I need to come into the kind of peace where all my need is satisfied. That I do not want anymore. I don't want for the world system that the peace is just saturating me. Lead me in you. In you there's peace that passeth all. I'm in you. Oh, I'm in you. You dwelleth in me. You dwell. You dwell. I abide in you. This word, it remains in me. I hold it. I focus. I keep it. I hold it. I focus. I keep it. In you. In you. In you. Now, if that doesn't happen the first time you go do it, don't be getting all upset. My goodness. The first time you decide to exercise your faith and it doesn't happen, I've been exercising since we started this series. The first time I told you, started holding that word in your heart probably 2 or 3 months ago. But you got to do that every day. When you do, it's going to open that veil up. When it does, you're going to start entering in. He said you could enter in. He does said it in John 10. You'll come in and find pasture. Because I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm going to give you the pasture of the kingdom. I'm going to give you the life of the kingdom. I'm going to give you the love of the kingdom. I'm going to give you the peace of the kingdom. I'm going to give you the glory of the kingdom. I'm going to give you the blessings of the kingdom, the dominion of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, the wisdom of the kingdom. I'm going to give you the pastures of the kingdom. Come in and eat. Come and eat, sheep. Bah, bah. Come and eat. Isn't that good? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give you access to your heart. We just needed to know where to go. The shepherd's been wanting to lead the whole time. Boy, I know where he wants to take us now. He's going to take us in, we're going to appropriate, and then he's going to take us to the world. And we're going to have something to give the world this time. It's the indwelling of the Father. Because the Father's going to do the works all over again. He's going to do them through the Son. He's going to do through his name, but the Father is going to work again. Be glad when he starts working again. I mean, you're going to stand up in front of somebody and pray for a cripple. maimed, lame. How about children? You go to the children's hospital and you go and pray, and they just told their parents that your child's going to die in 7 days, and you go walk up to the parents and say, have no fear. You don't have to fear your child's not going to die, but it's going to live today. And you walk in there, and the Father's indwelling with you through that name, and you pray for that child, and that child comes. Revival is on. That is not a dream anymore. That is going to become reality. Amen. John 14, okay, verse 28. Now watch this. He said, now you've heard how I said to you, I go away and come again. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. He said, if you love me, you would actually rejoice. Why would you rejoice if you're a disciple? Peter already, they're all upset because he's telling them, this is my final night with you. I've been with you 3.5 years. I'm leaving. I'm going to the Father. And he says, I'm going to go prepare a place and come again and get you. But they didn't hear that. And he says, if you love me now, if you really love me, you would rejoice because I'm leaving. You would rejoice. Why would Peter be happy? I can understand you're going to be happy. You're going back to Father. But what about me? Why am I going to be happy that you're leaving me? I'm glad you're going to be happy. How about Gaius? He has 3 homes. And John says, I wish above all things, Gaius, that you would prosper and be in good health. How about the guy that's standing right next to Gaius? Hey, John, what about me? I don't even have a house. But you got to think about things. People getting blessed. They know how to get blessed. You can't get that way around them. When they know how to get blessed, get around them. Get around them, find out how they got blessed. Once that blessing comes on, everything they touch will be blessed. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that blessing's coming on me. It ain't going to be coming on you, but it's coming on me too. And when I find that blessing, you get that blessing on somebody, you get around them because it'll get all over you. But if you get bitter, you'll get nothing. But he said, why? Why am I supposed to be happy? You're going to the Father. He's greater. He goes, don't you understand? You've been with me for 3.5 years. You think being with me is something? I'm going to prepare a place for you in him. I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to bring you to the one I love. I'm going to bring you to my joy. I'm going to bring you to somebody who's greater than me. I'm going to bring you to the Father. I'm going to give you something you really, really want. You just don't know it yet. I'm going to give you something that's greater than anything you've ever had in 3.5 years of walking with me. I'm going to give you something greater than being in my presence when the glory of the Holy Ghost was manifesting all around us. I'm going to give you even something greater than that. You got to rejoice that I'm going to him. Because when I go to him, I'm going to come back and get you. And I'm going to bring you to where I am in him. And what I have in him, you're going to have. The relationship and the glory that I hold of being in the Father, I'm going to bring you into the Father with me. Rejoice, because it's all going to change now. We're coming to live inside now. What you liked on the outside of me walking with you, we're all coming to live inside now. My Father and I are going to come make our abode inside you. Look at John 15:11. You'll understand these verses. Isn't that good? We are your temple, Father. Thou art welcome to dwell in us. Thou art welcome. The habitation of the Most High God dwelling in a man, dwelling in a woman, dwelling in us. That same glory that was in the tabernacle of Moses is inside us now. That same Holy of Holies the priest could not go into, it's inside us now. You're going to say that about the 500th time you say it, the reality of it is going to hit you. And when it does, the faith's going to explode in you and the Father's going to manifest his glory all up inside you. The living God dwelling in me. He said, that's right. You're going to carry me now to the nations. Now you're going to go out with power. Now you're going to go out with the indwelling of God. And when the separation's gone, your faith grows immensely inside. When God's up in here and he's not way up there in his love, just casting out the fear and the doubt and unbelief. See, when you pray, you know he starts hearing you. You know he's hearing. You know he's going to do it. And your faith just grows inside. It's not like, well, I'm going to pray and hopefully he comes. You're going to pray and you know he's going to come. Amen. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know what he's saying there? I'm saying these things to you because my joy that I've had with the Father for all eternity is going to remain in you. Because I'm going to introduce you to him, and I'm going to bring you into where he is. I'm going to bring you with me. And then my joy of being in his presence will now become your joy. And that joy is going to remain in you, and then your joy is going to be full, because you're going to get to know him like I know him. And you're going to get the taste of him like I have tasted for eternity. He's greater than I. I'm going to bring you to him. He's going to love you the way he loves me. You're going to know him the way I know him. You're going to be with him and in him. And he's going to be in you. That is the gospel. That's why he died for you, to be with him where he is, to lead you to the Father. He is your shepherd. He was sent to bring you to the Father. That is his mission. First, to bring you to the Father, so the Father could love you the way he's wanted to love you for all eternity. He wanted to come up inside you and release and manifest his love within you. He never wanted your separation. Never. Always wanted to be right there. The manifested light and glory of God manifested. It's going to explode on the inside of you. You won't be able to hide at that point. He's going to explode onto the world. Hallelujah. And now, O Father, verse 5:17. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's saying, bring me back now into my glory with you. Bring me back to be in you, to be in your bosom, to be with you and in you. You see, that's what he's praying. He's asking, Father, bring me back. See, because where he was going this time, you were going to go. You got to know that that's where he was bringing you. When he went back into the Father's bosom, he prepared a room for you in the Father. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I want them to have my joy, Father. I want them to know you the way I know you. I want them to be loved from you the way you love me, by being inside me. I want them to know there's a difference between serving a God outwardly and having you live inside us and love me the way that you have for all eternity. He was never separated from his Father, not ever, except the time that he became your sin and fell in love with you. That's what he was afraid of. Let this cup pass me, Father, I'm going to be separated from you. Verse 20. Neither pray for these alone, but them which shall believe on me through their word. See, you believed on him through this book, and they left their word, see. So that's talking about you. That they all may be one. He wasn't talking about us being one in unity here. He was talking about bringing you into the place that the Father and Son held together. The oneness of, you have to believe the Father is in me. He's dwelling in me. He's doing the works. And I'm in him and he's in me. Now he's bringing you in there. He's coming into you. The Father and the Son are now making their abode. And then you are brought into them. And you cannot understand that with your mind. But that is a spiritual place that's been prepared from you through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood purchased a way for you to go in there. And if you find it in this life, you are going to be of all men most happy. You will be full. The reason why we pass over those is because it's impossible to understand that by our mind. You have to experience that. You have to have your great shepherd lead you into the bosom of the Father by the Holy Spirit and his word. You have to be led into that place and understand it in the spirit and experience it. Amen? That's why you can pass over that. And it just has no meaning. There's no grid. There's no anchor for it. But there will be. Amen? That they all may be one, verse 21, Father. And he explains the oneness. You are in me. I am in you, and they also may be one in us. See that? Verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are. What was his glory? Well, you know, it's that cloud that manifests. That is glory, but that's not what his glory he's talking about here. The glory, Father, you've given me was to be in you. And I to be in you and you to be in me, to be one with the Father. The angels do not have that. they do not go into the Father. They don't go into the Son like that. Only the Son and the Father and the Holy Ghost could move into each other like that. But Jesus gave that to you. He gave that to you. He said, the glory, I've given it to them, Father. I'm going to make a way. Isn't that glorious? Now he explains the glory, verse 23. I and them. Thou in me, Father. Now, did you see that? They're going to receive me, and I'm going to be in them. I'm going to dwell in them, and Father, you're going to be in me. So me and my Father are going to come and dwell in you, that they may be perfect in one, and the world may know you have sent me and has loved them as you have loved me. Do you see that? They're going to know, Father, the same way you've loved me by indwelling in me. You're going to love them by indwelling in them. And the same works that I did because you dwelt in me, the same works you're going to do because you're going to dwell in them now in my name. It's the secret to the creative power of God. The oneness is the secret. Till the church achieves the oneness, the creative power of God will not flow like living water. That's what the gift realm bypasses, the oneness, see. It's not required in the realm of the gifts. The gift will come on you, it'll manifest. But oneness and the indwelling of the Father is the only way the true creative power is going to flow. The world's going to know. Notice what he said. The world's going to know you love them the way you love me. The world's going to know you're with them the way you are with me. The world's going to know you're indwelling in them the way you indwelt me. They're going to know it. How would the world know that? Grant unto us the same signs, miracles, and wonders to be done by thy holy child, Jesus. And the glory of God fell out, and the dead were being raised in the book of Acts. The lame were walking, and the crippled were being made whole. The glory was filling the whole streets of Jerusalem. The cloud of glory was upon Peter. They knew it. They knew it. We cannot deny this man has been with Jesus. Isn't that good? Yeah, it takes a little bit of sinking in. I read through this and confessed it hundreds and hundreds of times because the oneness thing I just couldn't get. My mind was blocking me. It's blocking some of you too right now. Your mind's never going to accept that. You're going to have to accept it in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to make that a reality. And then your spirit's going to enlighten that head and your brain. You go, oh, wow, that's what they were talking about. You see that? It won't go from your head to your heart like that. You will never understand this chapter like that. It's going to move into your heart, the revelation and the experience, and then it's going to come enlighten your head. Amen? So the light bulb has to come on in the heart first. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Where I am in you, Father. That they may behold my glory that you have given me. Do you see that? They may behold my joy. That they may now behold. You know what the word behold means? They may experience it. In the Strong's, the word behold means they may experience my glory that I have of being in you. Not even the angels can have it. I'm giving it to them because I love them. More importantly, Father, you love them. I'm going to give them what you've given me. They're going to be in me, Father. And I'm going to bring them into your heart. I'm going to bring them in to you so you can indwell. I'm going to bring you, Father, into them so you can dwell in them. I'm going to bring them into you so they can dwell in you. You're going to be one. You're not going to be. You already are. But the Word is going to make that a living reality. Isn't that good stuff? Thayer's Greek dictionary, that word behold, that they may enjoy the presence, the same one that I've been had from the foundation of the world. Father, make this a reality. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, Father, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me, look at this, may be in them now, in them, and I in them. All the great love, Father, that I've enjoyed with you for eternity, I'm going to bring into them because you're coming in there with me, Father, and you're going to get to love them now the way you've loved me. Isn't that glorious? Father, oh, Father, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful inheritance you have given to us, Jesus. You gave the Father what he wanted. You've given us what we wanted. We wanted to be loved just like Adam from the beginning. When he lost that love, he went and hid himself. Our heart wants to be loved, and you've given the Father what he wanted to dwell inside of a man and a woman. Now it's all been completed. We are one together. Father, I pray, the veil of their heart. You are the doorway, Jesus. You are the door that we are led into the kingdom, and you are our shepherd. You will lead us into the Father. You will lead us into the heart of the Father. You will lead us into the Father's love, into the dwelling place of the Father. You have been leading us all along, and you'll continue to lead us all into the habitation of the Father. You are sent as our shepherd, and tonight, as the sheep of your pasture, give us ears to hear you again in the Spirit. Give us eyes to see that leadership. Give us a heart that follows wholly after you. Tonight, remove the distraction. Forgive us for getting off course. Forgive us for having our eyes upon the world. Forgive us for our ears being dull and eyes that could not see. Open our eyes to see your leadership once again. Open our ears to hear the voice of the shepherd through the word of the living God to lead us into the habitation, the indwelling of the Father, where the Father once again can dwell in the hearts of the people of God, in the hearts of the church, where God can dwell in the body of Christ, for the fullness of the Father can dwell in him bodily, in him, in his body, in him bodily. That's us, the living stones, to dwell in us bodily. This is our prayer, Father. This is what we pray, to be gathered in his name, to be in him, to be all in him, and to be with you, and to have your dwelling in us, the indwelling of perfect love, the indwelling of perfect peace, the indwelling of pure glory, the indwelling of power, the indwelling of glory and blessings and wisdom, the indwelling of the Most High God, dwelling in the hearts of your people. Fill this congregation, Father, with that indwelling. Grant that to us, to be led fully into the indwelling, into the glory, that everyone daily will experience your great, great, great love. Open the gates of the heart, open the pathways. Let us see, let us hear. We embrace you again, Jesus, our great shepherd, to lead us in to where you are. Lead us to that positional place, that we may know the Father the way you knew him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.